I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, it's Thursday night, so you know what that means. It's the full ride on the Chase Thomas podcast, where I am joined by fellow college football know-it-all and fellow University of North Georgia alumni. It's Matt Green. Matt, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, sir. Glad to be back. Nighthawks in the house.
You know what's funny? So I was in Asheville for the birthday weekend, the Dirty 30 birthday weekend. And
30, yeah. I forgot to ask you about that. How'd it go?
I'm still alive. I made it to 30. I'm on the back half now, Matt. I'm officially closer to my 40s than I am my 20s, I believe, is how that math works.
That checks out. That's accurate.
That's insane. That's insane,
yeah.
Matt.
You're getting up there, man.
I just
keep on moving.
It does keep on moving, but I'm okay with it. I'm good. I'm good with where I'm at. I'm good with the weekend. It was a great weekend. I had a lot of fun, but the reason I brought up the Nighthawk thing is because we were walking downtown. It was downtown most of the time and just going to different places, and Nashville's beautiful and highly recommend Nashville, North Carolina. Shout out to our Airbnb people for putting on a great show. I'm not going to drop their name. Not going to do that, but it was a great spot. It was a great spot. I was wearing my University of North Georgia crew neck sweater, I think on Saturday, and okay. I was walking around and got stopped. Group of dudes, one of them just walks by, caught me off guard. Go Nighthawks. And I was like, what? Because I was like, there's no way they're talking to anybody else. And I turned and I was like, yeah, go Nighthawks. And then I hear them talking.
It's strong,
like,
yeah. Brand.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, that's the alumni. So that was cool. There were some other Northwood alumni. We're a small school, so we don't see that many.
I always feel kind of phony, though, because like every time anyone says like, oh, you went to North Georgia? Oh, it's beautiful up there. Oh, it's gorgeous. And I'm just like, yeah, it is. I never had one class in Dahlonega, but yeah, it is.
Well, a lot of people had both, right? Like a lot of our classmates would go back and forth between the two.
Yeah, the only reason I ever went up there was just to cover sports stuff.
Well, it's hard to explain to people because it's like you can't tell, like, so they broke it up into two sides where like the communication side was on the Gainesville side and then the science-y math stuff and business was on the
Dahlonega like the
side.
Real college was in Dahlonega, like where the fraternities and like,
yeah,
just the actual school functions and all the traditions, all that was in Dahlonega. We just had the buildings in Gainesville.
Hey,
just
leave Nesbitt
paper.
Alone.
Get that
I
piece
love
of
me
paper
some Nesbitt.
And get out of there. That's what we were all there for.
No, I love Nesbitt. Nesbitt was a really – I love Nesbitt.
No, it was a quality, learning experience, of course.
We had a lot of good times. We got, there were some good times. We had a, you and I, outside, talking in front of our cars, in front of Nesbitt, talking college football.
It's good times for sure.
Fuck, how long ago was that now? Because we are nearing the end of this semester, 2021. Was that 6 years ago, 7 years ago?
Shoot, yeah, something like that.
Oh my God.
7 years ago. Good. Time flies, man. But we should get into college football, right?
That's why I have Dr. Marker on the line. No, I'm just kidding.
Merrill Morris we got here.
Shout out
to the Merrill Morris School of Journalism that we all got our degrees from.
God, J-Kev J. Shout out to my guy. He made me a better writer. Also, very terrified of him still today. I hope he's doing well.
The only college professor I had that didn't like me, honestly.
Really?
He did not like me.
Were there any girls who didn't like me at North Georgia, Matt?
No, not one. I'm pretty sure every single girl loved you. They love your personality. You're really say exactly what you mean personality.
Exactly. Well, Matt Green, we have some college football news. This episode's going to be highlighted because of the offseason, different theme every week. This week, because the esteemed Super League fell through, the 48-hour, just unreal, just, I don't even know how to describe what happened and what transpired in a 48-hour period. I'm ready for the ESPN 30 for 30. I'm ready for all the documentaries about it. Shout out to Fire Island for getting the sports version of it. But we are going to do our own College Football Super League, which 16 teams would make our Super League and make the most sense. We have a lot of crossover because it's really hard not to have a lot of crossover, but there are some notable misses on both of ours. And we can even rank like where we think they belong. My list, of course, being the 16 that I put in, are all correct. Matt, it looks like you have 14 of 16 correct by my count.
when I saw this story, college football was what like immediately came to my head because
that's what we're all bracing for, right? And that's kind of what the playoff is like their own thing.
Well, and the landscape of like European soccer is always, I've always kind of seen it like college football, how it's like each country is kind of one of the Power Five conferences, you know, like Spain and Italy and Germany and England. So it's kind of always kind of felt like, and so you got like the hierarchy within those conferences. But I think the argument, you know, is obviously about money, and it's that some of these Champions League, you know, it's all of Europe. So when you're playing a team from, yeah, Real Madrid playing teams from Serbia or, you know, Turkey and things like that, and it doesn't do the ratings that when Real Madrid is facing Manchester United in Champions League or Manchester City or Juventus or something like that. And so college football felt like the perfect sport to compare it to because there's just kind of so many of those haves and have-nots in college football, for lack of a better term. There's so few legitimate like contenders year in and year out. So it's like if you get a top 16, it's like, yeah, it would destroy the entire sport. You know, it's like none of the other teams are really playing for anything. But that specific league would be amazing to watch. You know, it's like it would just be, you'd get all the best games you'd want to get, you'd want to see all the time. But it's just, how do you determine that? You know, you go by present, kind of how good the teams are right now is obviously what's going to make the biggest difference. But it's also about money and resources and all that. So you want to give your 16.
Going anywhere. That's the other part of it, too. Like all the cream, like the Real Madrids, the Liverpools, the Manchester United, the Man Cities, like they're not going anywhere. Like those.
Well, then as soon as you're in that top league too, it's like perception is reality.
Yeah.
It's like now you're in that league that's going to have the whatever huge TV contracts. Now you went from just having like an advantage in all of your resources and history and everything to now you're just legitimately on a whole nother level than anyone else. So yeah, now you're definitely going to get all the best players. And so that's kind of how college football is set up too. You know, it's like there's no salary cap. It's just you just recruit and get the best players you can. And those best teams, like we've seen, always tend to get that best talent. So I'll start my list. I think we both agreed on these 14. I'll just start off Alabama, Auburn, Clemson, Florida, Georgia, LSU, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Oregon, Penn State, Texas, Texas A&M, and USC. But we differ on a couple.
Yes.
I have Florida State mm-hmm. and Michigan, while you have Washington and Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So explain yourself here.
So Wisconsin is basically, like, you can even make the case that Wisconsin belongs above Penn State at this point. Wisconsin is just a quiet powerhouse. Like, they're the quiet powerhouse that, like, Michigan gets all the love, but Wisconsin's a better program. They've been a better program for a long time. I think there's more potential for Wisconsin to get in these playoff games than Michigan. I think we'll see what happens to our guy, Graham Mertz, this year. The rough freshman year for him, but, like, doing it with what they have, and they're just kind of stable. They're just a stable giant that we expect to go 10-2, 11-1 most years. I think they belong in that category, and they're like, they're just like, they are just there. They're etched in. They're kind of like Oregon, where I'm like, I'm not sure if they'll ever get a national title, but I think they'll always be in that top three in the Big Ten. And the Big Ten is just one of the bigger conferences. And I think the Pac-12, even though I do have three Pac-12 schools on my list, I think it's just hard not to include them in a college football super league, because they're just, they've been a top 16 program for my entire life. Like, I don't know how you don't put Wisconsin in there for me. And then Washington, they were in the playoff. Like, we forgot what Chris Peterson was doing there. We forgot that just, they look good down the stretch. Like, they just got a 5-star quarterback. They have a great defense. I think they're just,
Michigan State was in the playoff too. And
Michigan State's tough. I think if you're going to put Wisconsin, I think the Michigan State Michigan argument's more fascinating to me than Wisconsin, because I think Wisconsin's a step above. And also, Iowa, I think, is a better case than Michigan and Michigan State too. Like, I would actually probably put Iowa above them.
It's not just current form though. It's like
want a super league, if you want to look at the creme de la creme, the way I look at it is just like the Liverpools, where they kind of break through, where they're just not the Man Cities, but the hard nose. Just win games. And I understand Liverpool has a lot of success as of late. That wasn't the case for most of Liverpool's run. Tottenham's been mostly a dumpster fire, I guess. So maybe they're like the... What is Tottenham? Like, I saw them compared to the Jets the other day. But, like, what would you compare them to? Are they like the college football equivalent of Michigan, kind of, where everyone keeps... Or Notre Dame?
No, because I don't feel like they have that much tradition. I almost feel like... they feel more like an Oregon or a Penn State, maybe, because they were like really good there. They may have won the league a few years back. I think they had a really good stretch there, but I think Arsenal's kind of one of those teams that's like their tradition is better than they've been. Like, Arsenal might be more of a Michigan. Like, they're one of like the best in the history, but the last, I don't know, 5-10 years, it's like kind of not what they once were. But without getting on the Premier League talk, but I don't know how you include three Pac-12 teams, because if we're including like the cream of the crop,
the
college
East Coast
football
bias coming out,
you just,
Matt Green,
you
Mr.
just can't include
East Coast
three
bias.
Teams. I feel like Oregon, honestly, when you're talking tradition, like, Oregon is generous, but I feel like Oregon is that second, like, so that we're covering all the markets, essentially, like, give them the two teams on the West Coast. But it's like Pac-12 football just hasn't been that entertaining. It's like, that's almost what you're trying to get rid of if you were going to do a super league. It's like you're trying to get rid of the watered down leagues. It's like, so many of the best teams are down in the Southeast. With how loaded the state of Florida is, I feel like it's a crime to have one school in the state of Florida. You know, it's like that's the hotbed for college football talent. It's like, I would almost include Miami in getting in here with Florida State and Florida. Like,
which team has won a national title more recently? The Washington Huskies or the Georgia Bulldogs?
Oh man, that's the Washington Huskies. I was at 91, mm-hmm. I think. There's a lot of teams that have won a title since Georgia, but that's not the exact purpose of what we're saying here. And also, you didn't include Michigan, and Michigan is what, first all time in wins? Like,
yes, that's not fair. I don't like that. Michigan is just like
that means something though. Like, they're
Washington
one of
was in the playoff in 2016.
Yeah, they
can Michigan beat Ohio State once? Washington beats Oregon. Washington beats USC.
Yeah, but Washington is not the brand that Michigan is. Like, I just
think they're a better brand.
Oh, I don't know how you could say that. I think Michigan is just one of those, like, yeah, current form, they're not there. But it's like you couldn't have this super league and not have the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry.
They're 60-47-5 all-time against Oregon. What is Michigan's record all-time against Ohio State?
It's probably pretty good, right? I mean, they've played for like 100 years.
The last 20 years? What do you think it is?
Oh, the last 20? I bet they've won like three.
Also, Jake Browning, Warren Moon, all kinds of great players coming out of it.
I'm not here to hate on the Huskies, all right?
That's what it sounds like. Marcus Tuiasosopo, just not a Tuiasosopo guy.
Quality players. Tuiasosopo, that's a nice name for that.
I mean, I guess I'm very pro Huskies, and I think USC has to be there, but USC just annoys me. I think Michigan is like, I don't know. I want to throw a bone, I guess, to Iowa and Wisconsin and teams like that who actually have earned it. And deserve.
I'm with you. Wisconsin is a tough one. Wisconsin's right there, but I mean, if you're deciding between Michigan and Wisconsin, it's not even really close. On just kind of
Ron Dayne, Anthony, like what? I mean, Jonathan Taylor. You got all kinds of dudes.
I mean, Melvin Gordon.
Wisconsin, yeah, like they're a better program.
J.J. Watt. They've been solid.
Yeah,
but
Russell Wilson.
Michigan's got it's. You know what it is. It's like something you can't explain. It's like if the NFL was branching off and doing some kind of super league, it's like the Dallas Cowboys are going to be in that league. Whether they deserve to be in it or not, that's just kind of how it works, you know? Like Michigan is one of those brands. Also, Ohio State's 52-47-4 all time. So a slight lead. And they got – shoot, what is that?
We're last 20.
Right. The last 20, it looks like one win. How many is that? You can keep talking. I count this.
It's bad. Like, that's the whole thing. It's like they're just not – it's just they're not the creme de la creme. And at least Wisconsin does stuff. At least Wisconsin goes to Rose Bowls. At least Wisconsin puts out premier NFL talent. At least Wisconsin does what they're supposed to do all the time.
I was correct. 3 of the last 20. So
yikes.
Wow. 2-17 in the last 19.
That's what I'm saying. It's not even a rivalry. It's like Georgia Tech. Like, this is not a real thing.
It is, but Michigan's been way more respectable than Georgia Tech. Like, they've been ranked, you know, over half of those years. Like, even top 10 a couple of times they've played. So, Michigan it's not terrible. They're really down for Michigan, you know? It's like, there was only a couple years ago they were playing in the Orange Bowl against Florida State. Like, they were like top 5 before they got upset, like, right at the end of the year, you know? Like, I think Michigan is... If you're doing the Super League, they're just such a big brand. I think you have to include them. I would take out Penn State before I would take out Michigan. Like, I think Penn State is...
Well, I think Penn State has a path to a national title. Like, I think if they get the right quarterback in there, I think there's a path to Penn State and where Franklin is and where this program is and where the resources are, where, like, Penn State can get there. I think there's...
Oh, yeah, but just in terms of, like, putting them in, like, this top level of like the top 16, like I think you have a better argument of putting Wisconsin over Penn State.
Yes,
than putting
I would. I guess that's probably true. Yeah.
And the whole like history of Penn State, it's like, you know, you're on the border, you're off the field actions. They cost you. Sorry.
That's fair too. That's fair too. The other list, your list, you put in Florida State. We haven't talked about them yet. Why did you put Florida State in a program that I just, they're like a worse case than Michigan, I guess, of just like, remember this team? They were good in the 90s. I guess you can have the Jimbo year. That's great. Like the Jameis.
Yeah, but right, yeah, exactly. The Jimbo years were not far. We're not far removed from those.
That's true.
It's like two straight, a national title and a college football playoff appearance. Like, and I just feel like the state of Florida is just loaded with talent. Like, if you're really doing a college football, you know, super league, like you have to have more than one team in the state of Florida. Like, that's
I
why
had
I would
that
almost
same
put
exact
in Miami
thought
too,
and I like, had one and I didn't like it, and I was just like, I was tempted to put Miami in there because I was just like, Miami's in a better position. Miami's gonna be in a better position for the next couple of years,
and kind of geographical, like go all the way to the edge. I almost feel like Miami seemed good for that reason, but it's like, I don't know, like you just
Garcia
don't need two
heads already.
You don't need two teams in the Pacific Northwest. That's what it comes down to.
Oh, like that's what it is.
You either go Oregon or you go Washington. Like, honestly, Washington probably has more history than Oregon. But, like, Oregon's way cooler than Washington. Like, everybody knows it. It's like they got the Nike thing going on for them. Oregon's in this league, without a doubt. Nike probably like wouldn't support any of these teams if they didn't put Oregon in the league.
That's fair. Well, I think this would be a fun, like, it would be, I mean, I'm saying this would be a fun, like, it's like we already have this. This is the playoff. Like, this is the groups, like, we'll be interchanging these teams with a couple of them being out, but, like, this is it. There's no path to...
If we had a 16-team playoff, sorry to interrupt you, this would be incredible. Like, it would kind of taint the regular season a little bit, obviously. Like, games wouldn't be nearly as important, but the actual end of it, it would be incredible. One thing I thought was interesting, you're hating on Michigan hard, but you're not bringing that same energy at Texas. And Texas,
well,
is
another thing about Texas,
been a while
they're
for
an
Texas.
Easy fix. They beat Oklahoma recently. They beat Oklahoma when they can. They just do dumb shit. Like, Texas loses to Kansas. Like, Texas is the dumbest program. Like, they should be Alabama. There is no excuse for Texas not being Alabama. There's no.
Yeah, without a doubt. But also, we both put Texas A&M, just no thought about it. But they're kind of, they're really just kind of at the moment. They just feel like a good program. They have like a lot of resources in the SEC, but they really, they're not
gigantic
really
field, close. I think is a big thing. Like how,
yeah, they're not
being
really
what it
close
is.
To any of these other teams, to most of these other teams when it comes to like actual tradition and kind of how much they've been a contender over the last, you know, decade plus.
Well, who could forget that Dennis Franchione screen cap when they're down like 75-0 to Oklahoma? Who can forget that? Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
I need to that. It's the best screen grab. It's like Texas A&M down. Oh, what is
75-0?
Yeah, it was something crazy. Let me pull it up. Anyway, but back to what you were saying about them.
But yeah, Texas A&M.
Oh, it's 77-0. I'm going to send it to you.
77-0. Yeah. Wow, that like is that like 03, 04-ish?
Probably.
I remember there.
Oklahoma was number one in the country. That, yeah, it's 03.
I remember there been a game where people kind of talking shit about Oklahoma, like having their starters and like getting like pick sixes and like fumble recoveries up like 60-70 or something.
Yeah, I just sent it to you. I think the picture's in there. Just scrolled. Yeah, the picture's there. But it's one of my favorite pictures. It's almost like the tie pictures from Wake Forest and Virginia Tech when Frank Beamer's like raising his arms in victory when it's 0-0 head into overtime.
that is a classic.
I live
no
for that.
Context college football.
Yes.
But yes, I thought the also neither one of us have mentioned Nebraska. Is it just
no?
Is it
what?
It's over for Nebraska?
Yeah, it's over. Like Nebraska,
it's all over.
Yeah,
it's even over. Though they sell out the stadium every. Every game, they like they want to be it. They feel like the AC Milan or something, you know, just like the old tradition. They rarely care. They're just not really that good anymore.
There's just no path. Like, there's no talent. Like, there's no talent in the state of Nebraska to like.
Hey, if they were in a 16-team Super League, they'd be right back in it. They'd be getting talent again.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true, and that's the whole. Peel outside of him being a local guy is just like Scott Frost dipping back into Florida coming from UCF to get the Florida recruits to Nebraska, but like hasn't worked.
And it's all about TV markets and stuff like that too. Like if they really did this, so it's like you just at the end of the day you just probably don't really need Nebraska that much. It's like, oh, we got Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Oklahoma and Texas. I think we're good on you guys.
But this is why this whole format sucks, is that, like, I don't want to hate on Michigan and Michigan State and Iowa and Nebraska, A&M, because I'm like, I enjoy all of them. Like, their fan bases are rabid, they're passionate, like, they're really good programs, or they have a proud history. Like, I want them all to be interesting, and I want them all to thrive, because I think it makes college football more interesting. And this is where you and I differ, is that, like, I'm pretty anti-playoff, and I think part of what this does is just like we focus too much on these few teams, and I care more about like, oh, what is Nebraska doing this weekend? Like Nebraska, what they'll be doing against Michigan, like that interests me. Like I don't care that neither of them have a shot at the playoff. Like I'm interested in seeing what those two fan bases go at it, like Nebraska, their fan base versus Michigan's rabid fan base, and just seeing what those two look like. And you know, I care about the random Saturdays. I like just tuning in and seeing them. I don't care that they're going to go 8-4. Nebraska might go 5-7 and fire Scott Frost some point this season. Like, I don't really care.
This is where I think expanding the playoff would help what you're saying. No, hear me out. Like, if there was a 16-team playoff, like, I was actually having this conversation literally today with my brother. Like, you said, I don't want to hate these teams. Like, I don't want to hate Nebraska. I don't want to hate Michigan and stuff. Like, that's how college football has, like, taught us to be. Like, everyone hates everyone. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you look at college basketball, like, nobody hates anyone in college basketball. Like, you hear, like, Jay Billis. Well, yeah, everyone hates Duke. But you hear these analysts talk about teams. It's like there's no gripe about, like, oh, you know, they got picked to go to the Rose Bowl over us in 1983, and then they were ranked number one at the end of the season. I've been salty about them ever since. Like, these college football, like, beefs, like, last forever because it's like you have to be perfect, and you just remember these polls years ago. It's like college basketball analysts are just like, oh, yeah, this is a great team. They move the ball. They play great defense. It's like everyone just accepts what happens in the tournament. And so it's like no one's having to like argue about, oh, they're better campaign for whoever. It's just, it's all decided on the court. And so everyone, it seems like a more logical, more friendly, like, just sport in general. And also coaches last, like, I don't remember who I was watching. It was Gonzaga versus somebody late in the tournament, and it's like Mark Few's like 21st year at Gonzaga, and this dude's 18th year at wherever, and it's like his first Final Four, and it's like that could never happen in college football because if you don't make a playoff in 5 years, they fire you. So it's like if we have a 16-team playoff, and you're at this school like you say, like a Nebraska or maybe even like a Michigan State or a Washington, you know, one of these kind of teams, Oklahoma State. And you've just made the playoff a couple times. Like, well, yeah, now I know my coach is like a solid coach. He's got like some tangible evidence. Like teams, you know, they make the tournament. They make a couple runs to the Final Four. They make a run to the Sweet 16 one year. And there's like a good feeling to end the season on. Like, if you're just anyone in college football, especially in the SEC, it's like, oh, yeah, great season. And you lose to Alabama. Like, cool. Well, you're still going to lose to Alabama. And it's like everyone – honestly, Saban has probably destroyed the SEC in that way because everyone in the last 5 to 6 years has had to fire their coach so they can hopefully get someone to beat Alabama. Whereas if you had a playoff and Georgia maybe, you know, was a 12 seed in the playoff and they made a run to the Final Four or at least to the quarterfinals, it's like it makes the season feel better and then makes more teams – feel like they had a successful season and they don't have to just fire the coach because they didn't win the conference or they didn't win the national championship. You know what I mean? I'm all for expanding the playoffs, more inclusive.
What if it was not about the playoff, but it was more about the friends we made along the way?
well said. But do you, I feel like that's legit. If you had some tangible results.
No, I don't want any of this. I just want, because the fun part about the college football season is waking up on Saturday or Sunday mornings and reading the AP Top 25 and reading how teams did and like seeing what Kansas State did against Oklahoma or seeing like, I just enjoy the ride. I enjoy the ride from week 0 to week 13. I enjoy all of that. When I look, like, the saddest part of the season is always the title games and the playoff and the champion. Like, bowl season used to be amazing. Like, I loved bowl season because it's just like everything is nice and neat and they're all just happy to be there. And it's cool matchups that we don't get to see all season. And, you know.
But now, like, these great matchups we're getting to see, like Oklahoma and Florida, the game means nothing.
Well, it doesn't mean nothing if you get rid of the playoff.
Half the key players. But I think if you go to 8 teams or you even go to 16, it's like. Now you're seeing these matchups.
Well, then just cancel bowl season. Then what are we doing?
Mean something. Then we got, but keep the bowl season for you. Still got the NIT. Keep it. I mean, honestly, go
the NIT. That's what we're doing to bowl season. Bowl season was fine.
That's
bowl
all
season
it is
was
anyway. What is the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl? Like, what
yeah,
is
I
it?
Yeah, I love
really?
That.
Like, yeah, keep playing it. Like, you guys keep doing your thing. Like, no one really, the same number of people that care about the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl now will still care about it after.
I disagree. I think part of the fun part was like doing the, like, my family pool of just bowl season isn't as fun as it used to be because of the playoff part of it. And like these playoff games suck. They really, really suck. And
it's probably because we don't know, we're not getting the right top four. Like that's probably part of it. It's like if you expand
but
it,
Matt,
to eight,
there's no
it's
path
the better
to
chance.
Clemson, Bama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Auburn, I guess, LSU, Ohio State, Oregon, and the group, like, and a couple other ones, maybe Texas A&M, of falling out of that just never-ending cycle. Like, they're going to get through the gauntlet. Like, it doesn't matter if you include a Cincinnati or whoever. Like, they might beat one of them. Then they're fucking getting steamrolled the next game. Like, they're not making
but
through
I don't
that
even,
gauntlet.
It's not even about including Cincinnati. It's like, for like this year, like, Florida lost to, obviously lost, like, to A&M and Alabama, and then lost to LSU and Oklahoma at the end. But obviously the LSU upset was kind of weird. But the Oklahoma loss essentially meant nothing. Like the none of their key players were playing. It's like for all we know, last year Florida was like the second or third best team in the country. Like we really don't know if we played it out on the field. Like that possibly could have happened. Like maybe you know Notre Dame wasn't really one of the top four teams, and we would have had a better Final Four had we started at 16 and made those teams earn all the way to the quarterfinals and the semifinals instead of just.
But then people get mad at Notre Dame. Like they won all their games. What are they supposed to do?
Exactly. I mean, exactly. That's why Cincinnati won all their games, but you just don't think they're that good. But Notre Dame won all. Well, they didn't beat since they didn't beat the rematch with Clemson. But
no, but I'm saying they won all the regular season games. They won them all. Like, what are they supposed to do?
Oh, of course. But they just got. They're not supposed. They just don't get blasted in the conference.
That's not their fault.
It is their fault.
No, they lost to a superior program.
They did lose to a superior program. I'm not hating on – I'm not singling out Notre Dame. I'm just saying maybe they weren't one of the four best teams last year. Maybe that's why we got a bad first-round game instead of if this tournament worked itself out that someone actually was better than them. Like that's – like usually those games in the conference championships and in the divisional round in the NFL, like those are better and better games because we're getting the best and best teams. And it's like we're assuring that we're getting the best teams in the end, you know? So – I think instead of just kind of all playing like two overlapping teams in a 12-game schedule, like, and then just kind of trying to figure out some of them teams are playing no overlapping teams and then just trying to all vote and who we think's the best. It's like, it's clearly not worked because we've gotten a lot of bad games in the semifinals, like Georgia, Oklahoma. That's honestly one of the only good games that the semifinals have had in the college football playoff era. And Clemson, Ohio State was a really good one too. But there's like two good games out of like, I don't know, 20. And maybe it's because the top four is wrong. Not that we don't need a playoff. That's my only point. And I just think if you had a tangible like, oh, we made a run in the tournament this year. It's like, okay, we can hold on to this. We can hold on to coaches for 8 to 12 to 15 years because they're good coaches. And we don't have to fire them after 5 or 6 years because they haven't made a playoff yet. They haven't won a national title. It's like it's kind of a ridiculous standard to hold a coach to when he might be one of the good coaches. He just sometimes you're in a loaded conference, and we never know the conference arguments because those just change year in and year out. Like for years it was the Big 12 didn't play any defense, but it's like, oh well, that's because their offenses are just so good. And now the Big 12's defenses were really good, but now people are saying, well, no, it's the SEC offenses that are really good. The Big 12 offenses were trash last year. It's just the argument's always changing to just fit whatever someone wants to say. So if we just decided on the field, just no one would argue anymore. And we'd also get to see these awesome matchups that we want to see in bowl season.
Have you met college football fans?
That's what college football fans
want. They're
going
to argue about it. They're going to find new things to argue about.
Oh, they'll argue about it, but they'll just be so much more satisfied with the result that they'll just be – oh, and the sport would just be so much better if you had a 16-team playoff.
I think they're
going to
be satisfied. I think they're
going to
be – what the conversation will turn into is that, like, the injuries. Because if you do the 16 and you add this – you add a 16-player format, like, Lawrence is going to get hurt one of these years. like, Fields is going to get hurt playing,
well, I mean,
giving it their all.
I mean, that those kind of things happen. But just looking at this, like, these field of teams, it's like Georgia has played – has played I think played Ohio State in like 1992. They have not played Michigan in my life that I can think of off the top of my head. Like played Notre Dame twice, you know, like they've played Oklahoma one time. They haven't played Oregon. Like Georgia hasn't played any of these teams. So like to see a playoff, a bigger playoff where you're actually getting to see competitive matchups between these teams, oh, it'd be incredible, man.
Can we just like spruce up the SEC schedule? How about that?
I think that's what people are trying to do now.
Yeah, we don't rotate enough.
I agree. That can be a whole nother conversation for a whole nother show, honestly. My idea, it's not my original idea, but for how they need to change the rotation of the SEC schedule.
It's crazy. It we don't need to be perfect. Doing Tennessee Alabama every year. It's a waste of time.
I mean, you got to have those couple rivalries.
No, you don't.
There's probably like three or four that you got to lock in every year. Like yeah, Georgia's got to play Auburn. Georgia's got to play Florida every year. Georgia's got to play, you know, probably Tennessee, but you would play everybody and like,
well, you got to play everybody in your own division, but I'm saying outside, like you should be able to, like Mississippi State fans literally have not played certain SEC teams in like forever. Like some people just grew up just never playing them on the schedule. It's got to be annoying.
Yeah, without a doubt. So, it didn't change. It wasn't like that until they expanded in 2012. So it used to be like you would go through everyone would play everyone twice in like a 4-year span.
That's like we were all at
the same conference. It's like now you don't play anyone in the SEC. What? It takes you like 12 years to go through this rotation. It's like we're basically not in the same conference.
Yeah, I don't like it. Matt Green, do you want to do some news before we do some CFB trivia?
Let's get to the news.
Hines Ward, UGA legend Hines Ward, joining Willie Taggart's staff at FAU.
That's a big time. I'm seeing a lot of these football players from my childhood, from my generation, joining staffs. I don't know if it's making me feel old.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed out that Deion Sanders' staff was not as like insane as it was when it was first leaked. Remember that like TO wide receiver coach and everything? That was something I was very excited about. Like a super team of ex-NFL stars on Deion's staff would have been incredible at Jackson State. Also, can we go ahead and say that like, can we just go ahead and say, Matt, that like you and I were on this where like I saw something, I forget, was it The Ringer or somebody else had this piece a few months back where it was like the spring FCS season is about to be your favorite thing you didn't know is going to be your favorite thing. Who is watching any of this?
I like to consider myself a huge college football fan. Yes. And I haven't even like considered watching it. Honestly, I'm just like, I don't know. I'm a creature of habit. And in March and April, I'm keeping up with the NBA and the Braves now. So I don't know. It didn't work.
This was a waste of time. Right, I cannot believe they allowed this to happen. And these kids are going to have to come back in a couple months. Like Kennesaw's playing at Georgia Tech this fall.
That's true.
Like, what are we doing? This is insane that they're going to play two college football seasons in 1 year. Like, it's just, that's insane. Just
before we move on to Hines Ward, is Hines Ward a Hall of Famer? Because all this talk about Julian Edelman Hall of Famer, and after he retired,
Edelman's got a better case than Hines, but
oh, no chance.
I don't think Julian either of them belong. I guess probably not. No,
I think Hines Ward would definitely be closer, way closer, honestly. Than
Georgia
Julian
bias
Edelman.
There.
I think you should look up some numbers. I think Hines Ward's got way more like 1,000-yard seasons. Like
I was always more of a Santonio Holmes guy myself.
Hines Ward was never like one of the best. I don't know if he is a Hall of Famer. He was never like one of the best receivers in the league. He was just like always like one of the better receivers in the league.
Is Antonio Brown a Hall of Famer?
I don't know if he had he was way better than Hines Ward, but I don't know if he had like a long enough, like, I don't know, stretch of being elite. Like how many
yeah,
years?
Yeah, it's all arbitrary. Like how do we look at this? Like everyone's Hall of Fame argument is just different. They're like, oh, you had to do it this amount of time. It's like, what? Is Frank Gore a Hall of Famer for just being in the league forever?
Honestly, kind of. Like I feel like Frank Gore has kind of earned himself. Like once you get like top five all time, like longevity kind of.
But that's just attrition. That's all it is. It's like congratulations on being healthy.
That's true. I mean, Hank Aaron is kind of like he was very rarely, like a very short period of time, was like one of the best players in the league. He just was like, it was just kind of incredible that he was good until he was like 43. He just kept hitting 40 bombs.
Like, and it helped him being a great person. That was also a good.
Of course. Thing. But I just, people were having the Edelman conversation and then they started looking at receivers that like weren't in the Hall of Fame, like Steve Smith and Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce.
Torrey Holt
absolutely
belongs.
Like
I don't know if like, Isaac Bruce does, but Torrey Holt was a, wasn't
like Anquan Boldin or somebody. It's like
Bolden's
all those
interesting.
Guys. And all those guys are better than Julian Edelman. Even Hines Ward, like, I feel like Edelman's got no shot.
I still remember Bolden at quarterback for Florida State. Was that the Sugar Bowl?
That was. Yeah, I think Chris Ricks was, like, academically ineligible or something.
Yeah, so they had to start Bolden?
Yeah.
Bolden was a player. That dude was just an athlete.
He was. He was a beast.
Were you more of a Brock Berlin or Chris Ricks guy?
I'm neither. That's like two of the lamest quarterbacks of that. Definitely Brock Berlin over Chris Ricks, though.
What
Chris
about Robert Marvay?
Robert Marv? I don't even remember.
Marvay? What was it? Robert Marv?
Was it Miami?
Yeah, and then he transferred to Purdue.
Oh, that's...
He looked cool.
That's too... What about Ken Dorsey? Ken Dorsey at least looked cool.
Ken Dorsey looked cool. Ken Dorsey, he won some games.
Yeah, the big face mask on the skinny guy.
I was always, I don't know, Adrian McPherson. Shout out to him.
Adrian McPherson.
Let's just name some ex-Florida legend quarterbacks. Bobby Petrino.
Well, E.J. Manuel.
Okay, E.J. Manuel. Bobby Petrino, Missouri Valley Coach of the Year. Couldn't happen for a better guy. Bobby Petrino, congratulations.
You big Bobby Petrino guy?
I just, you know what's the sick part of me, Matt Green, is I love a good villain in college football, and like he's a garbage person, but dude can coach. Like,
is he still
badly
is Western Kentucky?
No, he's at Missouri State, I think.
Oh, man.
But like, if you're telling me, like, I would love to see Petrino at, I don't know. He's just like overqualified for where he's at. But he's also just not good enough, I think, anymore to win in a Power Five school. So I want him to be at like some group of five school where he can just like experiment.
Well, he's definitely good enough to win somewhere. It's just like
ended badly.
No one wants his total package.
Bad at Louisville.
That's fair. But I feel like if he could go to like, you know, some like a South Carolina or something. Yeah, South Carolina is a tough job. But there's plenty of places he could go, you know, like Arkansas is obviously where he was, but like just a.
No, I want him at Idaho, where Idaho is FBS independent, and he just goes ham. I want him at Idaho. I want him. I think his brother was actually at Idaho for a while. And then they just go down. Idaho's back to FCS, right?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
The Vandals?
Sure the Vandals. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're not FBS now.
Oh, man.
Joey Gatewood, per 247, is considered the favorite to win the UK quarterback job, beating out Bo Allen this spring, looking better. They wrapped up their spring practice last week. What do you make of Joey Gatewood being under center under this new Liam Cohen NFL-friendly offense for the Wildcats this fall?
I'll believe it when I see it about Kentucky's offense. Gatewood's got a lot of skills, but I don't know.
They give you
like,
problems. They
I
give
feel
your
like
dogs
been
problems.
Around. I feel like, say that again.
They give your dogs problems.
Georgia was going through a little bit in that midseason, but the offense didn't do anything.
No.
So I don't know. It's hard for me to get too excited about Joey Gatewood. I feel like we've seen he's been around for a while now. Like maybe he can be solid, you know, if they figure out, you know, a way to use his skill set. But I don't think I'd be too excited if I was a Kentucky fan about the offense this year.
Speaking about not being too excited, Joe Milton looks like he's going to be a Tennessee Volunteer. The Vols expand their quarterback room to include Harrison Bailey. Brian,
this has got to be a good thing, right?
Yeah, it's not bad. Like Milton stinks, but like it's fine. It's another depth piece.
I feel like he's got potential.
I think, yeah, that was the problem. I think that's why Michigan fans were losing their mind. It's just this potential and it's rocket arm. It's like, well, you eventually got to do other stuff than just have the rocket arm. Like you eventually got to do something else. And I don't know. Like he's a good depth guy. Like I'm not mad about him being the number four guy, but I don't think he's in play for first team. I think it's down to, I don't know. I shouldn't even say that. I shouldn't say who it's down to. And I'll report back next week after the orange and white game on Saturday. But, I don't know. The UT quarterback battle is just going to be wild. And I'm more concerned that UT is not going to ask me to play linebacker for them this fall. That's a bigger concern.
It seems like he's another solid name to throw into the ring.
He can't hurt.
Give Harrison Bailey some more competition. Is he the favorite, Harrison Bailey, or is
there's not a favorite.
Maurer. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Brian Maurer. There's not a favorite. Like, I don't think there's a favorite right now. Like, they're all getting first team reps, and it's all pretty equal opportunity right now. I don't think there's a favorite.
This is going to be a when are SEC media days, man? Man, I'm getting excited for the college football season.
We're still a ways away from that, I'll say.
It's still talking season.
The dead period ends in a little over a month, so we'll have people back on campus.
Later.
Dylan Morris out in front at Washington. You know, you got the Hoover kid coming in there, but Dylan Morris is impressed this spring up at UW. I don't know. Washington Kwame went 3-1. Everyone talks all about Arizona State. I'm reading a lot of offseason Arizona State hype, winning the Pac-12 next year. A lot of hype about USC, obviously. I look at this Washington team and what they did last year, and I'm like, nah, Washington's the favorite. I really like this group. Morris is locked in there.
When did this become a Washington Huskies podcast? Did I miss something? What's going on here?
I just don't think they get any respect. Like, they're a great defense every single year. They're recruiting at a pretty solid level. Like, Jimmy Lake's fine. Like, I think they're going to be all right. Washington's the cream of the... Like, I think Washington has a better case of being the best power, like, Pac-12 program in the last 6 years. They are not treated like that.
Is that true? Yeah. I feel like I'd still have to take Oregon.
No, last six.
Oregon does have some bad years in there, but what I mean, Washington. That's fair.
Washington never had a Willie Taggart year, a Mark Helfrich year.
That's true. I guess that's just how bad the Pac-12's been.
What I'm saying. Washington's the cream of that crop. Like, I don't think they get any respect. It's because they're not fun. Like, you watch a Washington game and you want to gouge your eyes out. Like, they're a tough watch.
And it's like USC's been good, what, like twice in the last 6 years, but they've seemed fun when they've been good.
Yes.
So they just feel better than Washington does.
Yes. Crouch, former linebacker at UT, one of several in the portal, or just all kinds of drama there. He is the favorite to go to Michigan State over the summer and enroll there and be their leader of that Michigan State Mel Tucker defense. Your old friend, Mel Tucker. Mel Tucker's doing some work in the portal. He's recruiting pretty hard. They got Jay Johnson, his OC, doing some good work on a 4-star out of California they're looking at. So we'll see what happens there. But Michigan State, we'll see what happens with Mel. This is a real season for him because he started so late in East Lansing, taking that job really late in the offseason last year. He seems like a good dude. So,
what do you think about that? You think Michigan State's definitely a better job than Colorado?
Yes.
That seemed like an interesting move. I mean, I guess I don't know what the money was. Maybe Michigan
it was a
State
lot more money.
Paid
he literally
him
kept saying no, and they kept offering him more.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
Had a pretty great Michigan State dynasty on the NCAA football video game years ago. It was legendary.
Who could forget? The University of Florida. They started spring practice early, Matt Green. And they got more practice than anybody else. Were you keeping up with this? Like, they elected to start a little bit early.
Or did they? I imagine they still have a limited number of practices they can.
I think they just got it in and they got some more rest. Like, the way the calendar worked out is they got a lot more installs and got some stuff done and were able to get a lot more film on tape before everybody else. Like, I don't know. It seems like Florida's kind of ahead of schedule and getting their installs or the differences with Emory Jones, because it's going to be very different with what they run this year with Emory versus Kyle Trask. I don't know. I think it's interesting that Florida kind of operated like, hey, we need to get this moving. We got to get people in and out quicker than everybody else.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. And especially because it's going to have to be a completely different offense with Emory Jones running the show. And this is kind of what we've seen more of Dan Mullen with a quarterback that can move, maybe even run first. So I'll be really interested to see what Florida's offense looks like with a dual threat, at least a running quarterback. Hopefully for them, for their sake, he is a dual threat, but we know he can run.
Yeah. Last thing, and we'll get into our CFB trivia. Neil Brown got a couple year extension at WVU. This was kind of a head scratcher to me. Like, I like Neil Brown. He was great at Troy. I think he's solid thus far at West Virginia and Morgantown, but like, I don't know. I haven't been like overly impressed by West Virginia. They're fine. But he got an extension. Maybe they're just like, we're happy with the direction. We're fine. Like, we're not chasing Iowa State or Oklahoma or anything. We know Neil Brown will keep us at 6-6, 7-5, and keep us getting those bowl checks and butts in seats. But I don't know. Kind of interesting to give him an extension this early on.
Yeah, I would agree too. I think, you know, their program was in a much better position, whatever was going on off the field with Dana Holgorsen, but they at least seemed competitive year in and year out. I don't feel like I've thought that about West Virginia the last couple years. So I don't know. It seemed like strange timing.
All right.
Like, when was this contract up? Is it just up at the end of the year?
No, he still had several other. No. He had a couple other years after this one.
So I feel like it's strange. Like, I wasn't that impressed with West Virginia last year, but yeah, who knows? Maybe they know what they're doing.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
For the ones standing guard, for the eagle-eyed, for the knights in shining armor, and for all those who support them. We are Grainger, your experienced safety partner, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, committed to helping keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com/safety, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I mean, if history says anything, West Virginia absolutely knows what they're doing. What way would you like to do the college football trivia hour, Matt Green?
Well, I got some questions prepared for you. How many you want to go? So we're doing BCS era trivia.
Yes.
So
you're a trivia guy. You love playing trivia, Matt.
I'm all about some sports trivia. That's pretty much my jam. And BCS era is basically from when I was 8 years old to, like, what is that, 23 years old. So that's pretty much the prime of my sports consumption right there, you know? So BCS trivia is one of my passions in this world, no. But it's pretty much my jam. So I got a couple questions prepared. You want me to go first? Do you want to ask your question? Do it.
Let me go first. I don't think you're going to get this first one right. During the BCS era, which player set the single season sack record?
Oh, I would say that my first thing that came to my mind was Terrell Suggs.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Is that your answer?
That's my answer.
You are correct. You want to guess the number?
Boom. He had like 24 sacks or something, wasn't it?
24 is correct, sir.
Oh, shit. All on a roll.
That's insane. He was averaging two sacks a game.
That's probably, he was probably what, 02, 03, yeah. You know, the year?
That man. Good God.
Yeah, he was a monster.
All right. Your question for me that I'm absolutely going to miss.
Okay. A lot of the BCS era is where you saw the Heisman trophy go off the rails. First ever sophomore to win it, then a couple sophomores in a row won it. First ever freshman to win it, a couple freshmen in a row won it. So I want to know, who was the last senior to win a Heisman in the BCS era that ended in 2013?
Jason White.
That is incorrect.
Is it an Oklahoma quarterback? What?
It is not.
Oh, wait. So repeat the question one more time.
So the BCS era ended 2013.
Uh-huh.
Who was the last senior of that era to win the Heisman?
Jason White wasn't a senior?
He was a senior, but he wasn't the last one that did it.
Oh, that's what I'm... Okay, last one.
Yeah, he did it 03. He was the second to last senior to do it.
Mariota?
Incorrect. He was actually not the BCS era. That's the first year of the playoff.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll give you the hint. The last 7 Heisman winners of the BCS era were not seniors.
That's what I'm saying. It's gotten younger. It used to be an older award.
Yeah.
Man. This is going to drive me nuts. I'm going to be so mad about this. It wasn't Tebow.
It was not. He was a sophomore. He was the first sophomore to win it.
Was it Cam?
It was not. He was a junior.
Damn it. I have no idea. Who was it?
Troy Smith. Troy Smith, yes. And if you don't count Reggie Bush's vacated Heisman, Troy Smith actually had the highest percentage of like first place votes.
Really?
Of any Heisman winner of that era too.
All right. I like it. I forgot about Troy Smith. He was great. The Jim Tressel.
That's all right. Honestly, I wanted to get a question with Troy Smith in there because I feel like people forget about Troy Smith.
The BCS team with the worst record against the FCS. Who is it?
Oh, man. So this is just any Power 5 team?
Yes.
With the worst record versus the FCS. Oh, first thing that comes to my mind is like Kansas.
You're in the right area of the country.
I don't know. Iowa State?
No. Colorado.
Colorado.
They are 2-2 since 1998.
Wow, that's the worst record?
That's the worst record.
Their
two losses were, this is incredible. They beat Utah State in 98 and Eastern Washington in 2008. They lost to Montana State in 2006 and Cal State Sacramento in 2012.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a tough one right there. All right, I got another one for you.
Okay.
Three teams that went undefeated in the BCS title game in the BCS era.
LSU, Bama, Florida?
Is that your answer? Final answer.
Let me say that one more time. Alabama, LSU, Florida. Yeah.
2 out of 3.
Damn it.
Alabama and Florida are correct.
Did LSU lose one?
You're forgetting when Alabama beat
us. They played at Alabama. They canceled each other out. Oh, damn it. Hold on. Then the answer is it Ohio State?
It is not. They lost a couple there. Lost to Florida and LSU.
Texas.
Incorrect. They lost to Bama.
Oh, that's right. They did lose to Bama. Damn it. Okay. Who is it? Florida
State.
It
is your boys on Rocky Top.
Oh, that's right. 1-0.
Tennessee. 1-0.
Oh.
So Alabama went 3-0. Florida's 2-0. Tennessee went 1-0 in the BCS era. Everyone else that won one also.
I knew it was three SEC teams. I don't know why I remember that. And then, of course, I just overlooked Tennessee because it just feels like a billion years ago.
Yeah, where's the note? SEC went. Where is it? 9-2 in BCS title games. Only conference that had a winning record.
How many more do you got, Matt Green?
I got three more. Okay. I got two good ones. So I got two more.
Which conference has the most Heisman trophies of the BCS era?
That was literally one of my questions.
Was it really?
I feel like I phrased it weird. That was one of the ones I wasn't counting. But yeah, I actually had that question.
I just put it in here because you're biased against this conference.
I'm afraid I have to. I already know the answer. So, but yeah, the answer is the Big 12. I was counting Nebraska as part of the Big 12, right?
Yeah.
Because when Eric Crouch won it. So yeah, I saw that. The Big 12 has 5 of the BCS era.
Yeah.
So man, I need to steal your thunder there.
That was unfortunate, Matt. All right, give me one.
All right, is that all you got? I got two more.
Oh no, we're just alternating.
All right, so So this is a kind of a play on the last question. Mm-hmm. The teams that went undefeated in the BCS title game, there's four schools that went 0-1 in BCS title games.
Mm-hmm.
Can you name those four?
Wait, say that one more time.
Four schools that went 0-1 in BCS title games. So they made it one time, didn't win.
Oregon went twice, didn't they?
Yeah, are you gonna? You want me to give you all the answers?
No, hold on. I'm gonna say Oregon won. You said there are four.
There's four.
Oregon won. Let me think. Oregon won.
I was going to say Oregon is correct.
Notre Dame.
That is correct. 2012.
I'm trying to think who else went. Shit. Who am I missing? There's someone obvious that I'm missing. Who's one of those weird teams that went? 0-1. They only went once.
Is there? We got a timer on this.
What conference? Who am I missing? What conference?
We got two more. They're both in different conferences now than they were when they made the title game. That's your hint.
They both were in different.
They're both in a different conference today than they were when they made the national title, the BCS title.
Nebraska?
Nebraska, 2001.
Oh, I forgot. They went 0-1.
They shouldn't have. I can't remember who.
Oh, Miami. No.
No, incorrect.
Yeah, shit. Virginia Tech?
Virginia Tech.
Yes.
2000.
That's right. All right. I'm going to give myself 4-for-4 on that one. You're not going to get this one, Matt Green.
Okay.
I have two more, and then we'll be good. Player responsible for the most touchdowns in the BCS era is who?
Oh, most touchdowns. If we're including running, rushing, and yes, passing, right? I mean, it's got to be Tim Tebow, right?
It's not.
Wow, okay, hold on. If it's not Tim Tebow... And this is an FBS player, right? This
FBS,
is
yes.
Is it a Power 5 conference?
It's not.
Okay, is it your boy Case Keenum?
It is my boy Case Keenum.
Were all his in the BCS, or is he after the BCS?
He was before the BCS. I mean, no, he was not after the BCS. He was in the BCS era.
2007
to 2011, sir.
Case Keenum was 2007 to 2011?
Yes, sir.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Shit. I feel like, man, I'm getting old, man. I thought Case Keenum was like 2015.
Yeah, no.
Damn, I guess he's in the league. Oh.
He had 23 rushing touchdowns, which is pretty crazy to me. But he had 178 touchdowns from 07 to 2011.
178?
Yep.
That's strong.
Yeah.
Tebow have? I'll look that up.
Give me yours.
Oh, yeah. So there's three schools in the BCS era that had a Heisman winner but did not win a national title.
Virginia Tech.
Incorrect.
What? Vic? Did he not win Heisman? Am I losing my mind?
Vic did win the Heisman, no.
Oh.
Ooh, 2000, that would have been... Who's 2000? That Winkie? No.
Oh, yeah. Wisconsin's won.
2000 was Chris Winkie. Wisconsin, Ron Dayne, 1999. Yep. That is correct.
Oklahoma won. Michigan?
Incorrect.
Didn't
Charles
Woodson win?
1997 is not the BCS era,
sir.
Oh. That's tough.
Mm.
And also they won it that year, right? Or at least split it with Nebraska.
Yeah. Oregon?
Oregon is incorrect. What's his name? Mariota, that's the year after the BCS
that's
era.
The year after, that's right. Okay. We're on the edge. It's hard to
You're right on the edge of the BCS era. See, I'm a BCS era guy. Yeah. You're on the edge.
Boise State?
Incorrect. They don't have a Heisman winner. That's Come on. True.
I'm just throwing Kellen Moore out there.
You're just throwing things out there.
I'm just thinking. Because there's so many Bama and Oklahoma guys. I'm trying to think of, like, and USC guys.
Florida State and Florida, but all of them have championships.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm trying to think. Who am I missing? There's someone obvious. Oh, Louisville?
That's not BCS era.
Damn it. Shit, I don't know. I'm going to be so mad that I don't know this. Baylor.
Baylor, that is correct.
Yes.
RG3, 2011.
Yep. And how many more is there?
There's just one more.
What conference?
SEC.
SEC? It's not Georgia, is it?
I just gotta tell you.
Yeah, who is it?
Johnny Football.
Oh, I forgot Manziel won. I forgot Manziel won. Because he won it as a freshman, right?
Yeah. Should have won it as a sophomore, but that's just my personal opinion.
Manziel.
They hated on him.
Last question on this, Matt Green, and we'll wrap up. Do it on a positive note, Matt. The highest rated BCS title game was what?
Oh, man. Ratings. Oh, it's got to be Texas USC, right?
Yes, it is Texas USC.
Yeah, I would say that had to be the best one. What was Florida State Auburn was really good. I would probably say Ohio State Miami. I'd probably put that second. As far as best BCS title games, that would probably be my top three right there.
Yeah, well, that's it. I remember, I'll never forget where I was when Vince Young ran it in. Like, I snuck up and like stayed up late. Like, my parents absolutely thought I was asleep. Like, them giving me a TV when I was like 12 in my room was not a wise decision, because I think I was like 14, 15. I remember, like, getting up at 6 a.m. that next morning, walking the halls, and just everyone, that's all we were talking about was the Texas-USC game the next morning. I don't remember doing that with other BCS title games. I just remember the Texas.
Yeah, it really was, like, it was an event unlike most games. Even though people tried to act like USC was going for their third straight national championship, even though they only won one. But, I was definitely rooting for Texas. I feel like I was a USC hater in those days. I was just like so overrated.
You're also just kind of a dork if you're rooting against Vince Young and that team. Like, just like what?
Oh, yeah, a lot of people liked Reggie Bush because he was so exciting, you know. And USC, Hollywood, they were like the sexy team, you know. I feel like a lot of people liked USC. But, yeah, I just couldn't get past the overrated or the easy schedule they had every year. It was and the fact that they only won one BCS championship, and people are getting them two titles. I just didn't understand it. That's why we started the BCS, so we got number one and number two. That's the champion. Some of this AP poll, that stuff doesn't matter anymore. Get off my lawn, sir.
You're fired up about this, Matt Green. That was
definitely the best title game for sure.
Well, that's all I've got. If there's anything else you would like to add before we wrap up here today on the Thursday night edition of the Chase Thomas Podcast.
That's all I got, sir. Until next time.
Until next time. Matt Green, thank you as always, my friend. I appreciate the time, and we'll be back next Thursday.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.